It's going down. I'm yelling timber. From, oh no, he's hot. By Steely Deely Dan. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of Andrew Hussey. The fluorescent lights of the arena are digging into your retinas, and the crowd is roaring in a wall of sound that your brain keeps running up against, unable to tune it out. Carapacians, consorts, trolls, and humans alike all contribute to the din, and you are deeply regretting that this is how you are spending your evening. Watching a wrestling match. You're ripped out of your thoughts when the cacophony around you rises and changes tone, forcing you to zone back in and focus. The screens around the ramp backstage light up and flash with clips and footage of past matches, and the crowd loses their collective minds as Jake walks out, nearly naked, in just his orange boots and extremely tiny yellow shorts, with Terezi trailing close behind in her garish red pantsuit, sporting a truly sinister grin. Jake's smiling and waving idiotically at the crowd, oblivious to their jeers and boos. He strikes a brief pose to show off the frankly ridiculous musculature of his back, and okay, you're just gonna look somewhere else before you crack your molars. Hey, Terezi seems fairly interesting at this exact moment. She's got her dragon-headed cane in one hand and a flip phone in the other, held to her ear. Her strides are cocky and domineering as she smacks Jake's ankles with her cane to keep him moving towards the ring. Once she and Jake are there, she snaps the phone in her hand shut and follows Jake through the ropes, climbing into the ring. All right, people, I didn't want to be here, but for some reason, you all do, so let's get this pan-numbing, utterly senseless, disgustingly violent show started. You are definitely feeling regret right now, among other things. Ringside seats, sure, that's great, except for the fact that you're right next to Calliope, and you have to watch Jake fucking English preen and pose like he's the second coming of Muscle Jesus. Not to mention that you are uncomfortably close to the two commentators' tables, one human, one Alternian, with Dave giving you side eyes he thinks you can't see, and Jade's wagging tail thumping distractingly against your chin. Why I was chosen to announce this wrestling match, I can only guess. Anyways! Karkat squints at the note card in his hand. The following contest is scheduled for one fall, apparently. I think all of them are, but whatever. If I may introduce your reigning champion, weighing in at something approaching brick shit hive levels of sheer muscle mass, Jake English. Yoink!
A chorus of boos accompanies Terezi's snatching of the mic from Karkat. God, why is Jake still waving? He's unnervingly shiny, too, like he was oiled up beforehand, and fuck, you're not gonna look at or think about his chest hair right now.
Oh, I'm sorry! Come on, what are you even mad about, people? Cannonball Karkat Vantage doesn't have feelings. He has levels of volume.
I literally don't give a shit and no one calls me that.
But I think we can agree that my client, while he needs no introduction, just look at him, he deserves a better one than that.
The crowd yells, and even through the jumble of jeering, you're fairly certain that they are all yelling the single word, what? Even Callie beside you is holding a green clawed hand up to her head as if to signal that she can't hear what Terezi is saying.
Hmm? Having trouble hearing me? I'll speak up then!
She's practically swallowing the mic.
Introducing a man who has slain dragons, boxed robots, and broken hearts, all without leaving the comfort of his luxurious island home. A man raised by beasts. A man whose mustache has a mustache. A man who will kick any ass less perfect than his, which is all of them!
Suddenly her voice drops to a stage whisper. The crowd is silent. What the hell is happening?
My client is a man who takes what he wants and keeps what he takes. Hearts, careers, belts.
She nudges Jake with her cane. He starts, and then thrusts the title belt around his waist forward. You quickly turn your gaze back to Terezi.
He wanted this belt. Which fucking one is it again? See, I can't really tell because I'm blind, but I'm pretty sure it's the World Heavyweight Championship. My client wanted that belt, so my client took that belt, which means it's his now.
She stabs her cane toward the ramp.
But if you Want it? My client is all too happy to give you a taste of his belt!
But only if you beg.
And his name is
Roxas, music hits. You only recognize it because he gave you a play-by-play of an old match with him and some other wrestler last week, pointing out moves all through the video and replaying the introductions of both men. The timing here is so theatrical that you would be rolling your eyes if not for the man of the hour himself finally making his appearance. The crowd goes absolutely, utterly, intercontinentally ballistic when Roxy saunters down the ramp just as scantily clad as Jake, except for an additional pair of forearm cuffs, all in navy blue. The cheering and whooping drills into your ears, and it is all you can do to keep yourself from covering them with your hands like a child. Callie starts to clap very politely, her cheers much tamer than the general audience's. You remain as silent and unmoving as you have been all evening. Roxy reaches the ring. He slides through the ropes like water. In one fluid motion, he rises like a wave, plucks the microphone out of Teresi's hands, and whirls around to face the crowd. His turn is slow and deliberate when he finally stops, facing towards you and the commentators' tables.
Please.
You swear he's looking right at you when he purrs that single solicitous word.
I mean, if you would be so kind. Though, we all know what everyone is here to see.
And it's not English keeping that belt. So if it's all the same to you, I think English should put his money where his mouth is. Let's see if he got the balls to challenge someone who weighs 169 pounds. From Earth B, the one, the only, Roxy the Love Hammer LaVeau!
More roaring from the crowd threatens to send your eardrums to an early grave.
Mic drop.
Roxy dramatically holds his arm out and waits for a beat, then releases his hold on the mic. It hits the mat and bounces. Carcat visibly sighs, stoops down between the wrestlers and Teresi, and takes the microphone back.
Okay, great, wonderful. Are you two meat pans ready to beat the ever-loving shit out of each other? Considering how little I'm being paid for this, it's a wonder I'm still here. So I'm gonna step out now and leave you to it. But play ball or whatever the fuck.
Carcat and Teresi duck under the ropes and exit the ring, Teresi lingering in the space around the corner closest to Jake while Carcat grumbles and stomps over to the commentators' tables. You turn your attention back to the ring, and just in time, because the bell clangs, and all of a sudden, the two men are slamming into each other.
All right, folks, looks like we're off to the races. Again, welcome one and all to WrestleMania, or whatever it's called on Earthsea.
EWF is what we call it on Earthsea, Dave, not WrestleMania, but... Oh my goodness, it looks like the Love Hammer already has English in the T-junction.
The what?
Your eyes are glued to the wrestlers in the ring. You swallow hard as you watch the two of them roll together in a sweaty mass of man, your fists clenching at your sides. This has to be hell. There's no other explanation.
Very clever of English to faint there. It looks like the Love Hammer just missed that clothesline. Holy shit!
What the fuck was that? Come on, man.
Dave, that was an elephant gun.
It looks like Dwayne the Rock's Johnson
is... Give me the Love Hammer!
Oh, that looked painful.
The wince you make when Jake throws an elbow into Roxy's gut after punching the fuck out of him is entirely involuntary. Roxy is fatter than this, stronger than this, and you know it. Why is he taking this kind of shit from Jake English? Logically, you're aware that this is wrestling. This isn't an actual strife, and you know the difference. But watching Roxy take hit after hit from Jake is both distressing and arousing in a way you don't want to dissect right now.
Oh, shit.
The Love Hammer's found himself in a tricky spot here, and it looks like the... English is going for it! The love triangle!
Oh my god, is it actually called that? You're being serious. That's so fucking funny! Anyway,
Alright, that's it. Your eyes need a break from the way Jake's arms are straining to keep Roxy from moving, Jake's hulking arms bursting with muscles. Oh god, this is not good for you. So you surreptitiously decapture Lage Fanta from your Silodex and take a very long sip. In the time since your breakup, Jake had hit a final growth spurt. Good for him. He started going to the gym with Roxy, also good for him.
You'd even heard just a couple of years ago that Jake was finally putting himself out there again. Firstly, 18, along with the rest of you, and making the most of it, which didn't bother you. You weren't dating him. You hadn't been for years. You had no claim on him. So it shouldn't bother you. Didn't bother you, except... It's just a little funny how Jake was having these one-night stands now with people he didn't even know, and that's his right, obviously, even though you and he never, the relationship never got to a point where you turn your attention back to the match.
The Love Hammer has broken English's hold. He's coming back with a perfectly generic suplex, and oh my god!
God damn.
English is stunned. What's the Love Hammer going to do? It looks like he's, yes, going to the top turnbuckle.
Roxy gracefully ascends the pole in one of the ring's corners, standing on the things holding the ropes, turnbuckles, if you heard Jake correctly. Turning slightly, he flexes his arms towards the other side of the arena, letting the crowd get an eyeful before spinning the other way. He poses again, still flexing, and then he turns to face you and Callie, blowing the latter a kiss. Beside you, Callie giggles. Then Roxy rubs his hands together with an evil little grin, snaps his fingers, and...
Holy shit! The Love Hammer has just summoned a steel chair.
This is awesome, actually. I changed my mind.
Dave, if the Love Hammer hits English with that chair, he'll be disqualified.
Wait, why?
Dave, it's a foreign object.
That's racist, though.
Oh my god, Dave!
Terezi is protesting, pointing to her nose, then the chair, then her nose, then the referee himself, waving her cane menacingly. Roxy stands poised to leap off the rope, turnbuckle things, and smash Jake over the head with the chair. His eyes and his weapon of choice, both gleaming wickedly in the arena lights.
Is he going to do it? Is he?
He is.
The Love Hammer takes to the sky! But... Oh, wow! The Love Hammer has vanished the steel chair back to the void before it made contact with English!
Fight.
You can see Jake uncurl from his flinch to whip his head around and face the referee. He's saying something, gesturing wildly, but the referee isn't budging. Terezi, meanwhile, is protesting bloody murder. Tough shit.
I mean... How dastardly?
It wasn't dastardly, Dave. It was smart.
Oh, run on?
It was a clever ruse, Dave.
Oh, yeah, he's got Jake by the neck now.
Dave, will you just let me do the talking here? The Love Hammer's got English by the neck, and he's going in for a pin.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yes, we know, Dave.
This close to the ring, you can almost pinpoint the exact moment that Roxy's movements start to slow down and grow sluggish. A little spike of anxiety burrows its way into the forefront of your brain. How much of this is real?
It looks like English is shaking off the Love Hammer. Oh, English is gearing up for a hope bomb, it seems. And oh my god!
Holy fuck!
A man takes 1 second to set down his drink, and there's chaos. You look up at the last possible second to see Jake chuck Roxy up and over the ropes, and Roxy's body makes a perfect arc through the air before it crashes into the Alternian commentator's table so hard the entire thing collapses on its foldable legs. The two trolls commentating are staggering backwards in shock, and the uproar of the crowd is deafening. You're on your feet before you realize, your height advantage allowing you to just barely make eye contact with Roxy, where he lies in a heap on the remains of the table. His expression is dazed, and for a second, you seriously consider doing something very stupid, until his eyes snap to yours, like he knew you'd be there, and he winks.
The devastation, ladies and gentlemen, the sheer devastation! Roxy the Love Hammer LeFou, in the ruins of the Alternian announce table, beaten, battered, and bruised, but he is not giving up yet! He's back in the ring already and firing back with a clothesline off the ropes.
God damn, he's like a human pinball. Oh shit, get his ass.
Dave, can you take this seriously?
What? I'm the voice of the people. I'm here to keep it real.
You're only here because of your stupid music. It's just stupid mouth sounds.
Yeah, car can't enjoy my mouth, all right? Man, the sounds.
Dave!
Oh yeah, man, I guess the music too.
You're incorrigible.
I can give you a repeat performance later. My back can't take another night out of the couch, babe. Babe, come on. Babe, please. Babe?
You do not get to call me babe right now.
It becomes obvious to you, even with distracted commentators, that Jake now has the upper hand in the match. Roxy is wearing a weariness that you think only you would recognize as exaggerated, and Jake's moves are getting harder, meaner, and more frequent. You know that it's all an act. You're still indignant on Roxy's behalf. Seeing this kind of submission from him is unnatural. That's what the flush in your cheeks is. It's anger, of course, on his behalf. You shift in your seat and subtly adjust your pants.
If we can get back to the match now.
Okay, fuck, look, I'm sorry.
The Love Hammer is... Oh, he's calling for the... But can he do it? He's doing the voidy thing!
He's definitely doing something, that's for sure.
A cameraman runs over, absorbed in the match, and you have to resort to leaning over and away from Callie to try and see what's happening in the ring. No luck.
On a kick out at two.
Aw, shit.
English with a nasty reversal.
Aw, shit.
The love hammer, dead in the middle of the ring.
Hey, Daddy's coughing and rolling around and being lame.
Dead in the middle of the ring, and English up on the turnbuckle going for, yes, the jumping Jehoshaphat.
Daddy's the dumbest.
Jake is final. Stop talking.
That Jehoshaphat got a lot of air. Was he flying?
It looks like the ref doesn't think so, but I'm not sure.
Dude, how do we even know? Being so for real right now.
Jake does get a lot of air when he springs up from the ropes, making you cringe all the more when he lands directly on top of Roxy, slamming both of them down and onto the mat. There's a minor weak scuffle, and then Jake hauls Roxy's legs into the air, pointing his entire ass directly at you. Around you, the crowd chants a count as the ref hits the mat, leaning down at an odd angle to keep his horns from hitting either wrestler. You barely notice it. All you can see is Jake's rippling muscles and Roxy's entire ass in tight blue spandex. All you can hear is Roxy's helpless struggling, and all you can feel is the heat from your face as you do your utmost to clamp down on the desperate desire in your blood.
And it looks like that is it for the Love Hammer, folks. Which means that English will get to keep that champion title after all.
Come on!
Jake releases Roxy so that he can stand and preen as Roxy struggles to his feet. Carcat makes his way back into the ring. As soon as the troll's back is turned, Teresi climbs back in as well.
Whoop-de-fucking-do, everyone! Here's your winner, I guess. Still your champion, not that I give a fuck. Jake,
gotcha again!
You two now. Teresi's grating cackle through the stolen mic and stand to leave, partially because you're not sure you can sit through more bullshit hyping Jake up, but mostly because you just saw Roxy slide through the ropes and make his way backstage towards the locker room. The crowd is hissing and booing, other spectators leaving in droves, and you feel like you're about to burst out of your own skin with how much you want Roxy's glistening, sweaty body to show you just how strong he really is. Slipping your way backstage is no issue at all. Security takes one look at you and steps aside, unquestioning. It's a relief that you don't have to think up some excuse, because all you can think about is keeping your steps measured and casual as you make your way to the locker room. When you step through the door, you waste no time in tracking Roxy down to the showers. You catch a single glimpse of him fully naked, before he slips behind the shower stall's curtain with a wink. Fuck. You're still half hard from watching the match and fully clothed. It only takes you seconds to throw off your tank top, pants, and boxers over to the bench with Roxy's gym bag, but those are still a few seconds too many as you hear the shower turn on in the stall. You end up having to double back, to fold up your shades and set them beside your clothes, cursing internally before you finally sweep the shower curtain aside and step in. He's on you in an instant, closing the curtain again with one hand as he spins you around with the other and pushes your back up against the side of the stall, his mouth, fuck, sliding against yours, nipping at your lips as you gasp and scratch red trails into his back as you both stand under the spray of the locker room shower. You moan as Roxy kisses you, all lips and tongue, his body hot and wet and gloriously naked, pressed against yours. Your cock is trapped between the two of you, almost fully hard now, and the friction makes you whine and pant into his mouth.
Now what's got you so hot and bothered? Roxy asks, voice level and teasing.
You can barely string together a sentence as the short length of his dick rubs against your thigh. His hand drifts to your ass, cupping a cheek to pull you just a little closer. You gasp and choke on the water pouring down your face. Roxy, you manage, before coughing hard. God, the water pressure in this place is insane. You're going to drown if he expects you to keep up a conversation like this. You moan and tilt your head back, exposing your throat for him to leave bites and bruises, and he does. Yes, God, he does. You're not sure if it's a mercy when he decides to abandon his line of questioning, and you're leaning more towards it being a sick sort of vengeance when he ducks his head to drag his tongue against your nipple, rolling the other one between his fingers. With a grunt, your nails dig into his shoulders as your back arches. Fuck me. Please. Use me. Anything you want, just do something. You bag your head finally and temporarily, free of the water that keeps assaulting you. He doesn't let up, wrapping his lips around your nipple, sucking, teasing you with his teeth. And shit, that's hot, but you've been teased enough already. You writhe a little to nudge him away from your chest. Roxy allows his head
to be nudged to the side, even though you're still grinding into his hip and thigh. His evil little smirk should not be arousing you this much. Oh, I will. I've just got so many ideas. He looks like he's about to list them all off until the sound of the locker room door opening cuts through the rushing water. Shit, shit, you are fucked. Jake's whistling fills the echoey space you and Roxy holding stock still under the spray of the shower as you hear a locker door open. When you hear Jake shimmy out of his skin-tight shorts, Roxy leans back and murmurs into your ear. Better be quiet now. He steps back and starts to manhandle you until your front is pressed against the wall of the shower stall. You cooperate, and then one of his hands reaches around to grasp your dick. A moan almost bubbles its way out of your throat before you clamp down on it. Roxy whispers again. Wouldn't want him to hear just how desperate you are. You're mine, Dirk. Oh, God, you're lucky that the water is running. Otherwise, the whimper that sneaks out of your mouth involuntarily would have been far more embarrassing than it already is. Jake approaches the row of shower stalls, judging by the sound of his footsteps, and, to your horror, chooses the one directly adjacent to you and Roxy. He pushes the curtain to his stall aside and starts the water whistling all the while. God damn him. Roxy starts to move his hand, jerking you off slowly, and you fight back another wanton little moan through gritted teeth. His front is against your back, skin to skin, and his other hand reaches up to tap your lips with two fingers prompting you. There's barely a thought behind your actions as you open your mouth to let his fingers slip inside, where they press against your tongue and push further down your throat. You close your lips around him and suck to stave off another moan. Behind you, Roxy chuckles, so low that it's mostly a vibration in your spine. Good puppy, he whispers, and your knees threaten to give out. He speeds up his hand on your cock. Fuck, you're so hard, you're sucking on his fingers now in a desperate attempt to keep your mouth occupied with something other than gasping out Roxy's name, and it's not quite enough. You know, that was an absolutely smashing performance out there, Roxy. Jake's voice calls out conversationally, making you go stiff.
No hard feelings, eh?
Roxy doesn't stop jacking you off, but he does slow down, and when he speaks, his voice is level, almost coy. Of course not. Did you hear the crowd? Was like the biggest turnout yet. Jake laughs, and you squirm against the wall. Roxy has to be one sadistic motherfucker to do this to you, and you'd love to ignore the fact that it's turning you on like nothing else, but you want to come so badly he starts to speed up his hand again.
Well, I must say I'm not exactly surprised.
Jake's voice sounds jovial. And the fact that he doesn't even know you're there while you're being edged less than 2 feet away is going straight to your cock.
You must teach me that acrobatic flippy move thing you did there at the end. I am positively envious.
You whine as quietly as you are able around Roxy's fingers, and then with no warning, he slips them out of your mouth. You feel bereft, if only for a moment, before they slip behind your ass and between your legs, sliding around near your rim. Roxy's next words are just as mildly amused as before. That's a trade secret, I'm afraid, he teases. Then the tips of his fingers settle on a spot between your dick and your asshole, and you only have a single confused second before he starts to knead. You moan aloud, with nothing in your mouth to muffle the absolutely debauched noise that rips its way out of your throat. The pressure on your prostate from the outside feels amazing, and it takes you a moment to realize just how loud you were. You freeze. Jake's voice sounds concerned.
Did you say something, chum?
Roxy hums. Probably the pipes, he muses, then releases his hand in your cock to turn the shower off. I was done showering anyways. See you later, Jakey.
Likewise,
he calls back, none the wiser. With a sweeping motion, Roxy opens the shower curtain and herds you out of the stall. And fucking hell, you're still hard and aching since he hasn't let you come yet. He crooks a finger over his shoulder as he walks, using his other hands to pick up his bag. So you follow him around the corner to a more secluded part of the locker room. It has several benches, one mirrored wall, and a row of lockers blocking line of sight from the showers, which is all you care about right now. As soon as the two of you are no longer in Jake's potential field of vision, Roxy turns around and drops his bag onto one of the benches. From it, he pulls out a leather belt, a familiar harness, and a shockingly realistic dildo. This is one you haven't seen before. You watch in a daze as Roxy quickly dons the harness, the strap on, bobbing a little, until he tightens the straps. And as soon as he does that, the dildo rests perfectly flush against his groin, perfectly matching his skin tone. And it barely even clicks in your mind that the thing isn't Roxy's real flesh. Fuck, the way he strokes it a few times, holding back a groan, has you more aroused than you think you've ever been. Please, Roxy, you manage. Knees buckling until you're knelt in front of him, soaking wet and naked, water dripping onto the tile floor. He picks up the belt from the bench and runs his hands along it, eyes locked onto yours, heavy-lidded and full of heat. Loving the angle here, but that's not what I'm looking for. Turn around, he orders. Bend over the bench. Hands behind your back. Okay. You obey as fast as you can. When your hands clasp together to rest at the small of your back, Roxy binds them up with the belt. Yes, fuck, yes, you want him to take you, to use you, and as soon as you feel the length of Roxy's cock sliding against your ass, a deep, low groan bubbles up and out of you. Above and behind you, he tuts, resting a hand against the back of your neck to tap his fingers on it gently. Gonna have to be quiet if you don't want to get caught. He chides at a murmur. You suppress a whimper.
I'm sorry. Couldn't help it.
You whine, barely coherent. He removes his fingers from your neck and you almost beg him to touch you again before the hand returns with force, pinning you to the bench. You gasp and spasm. The snap of a bottle opening rings through the room and the slick sound of Roxy fisting his dick fills your ears. Your own thrusts fruitlessly into the empty space below the bench to no relief. Finally, because you have been waiting for this ever since Roxy stepped into the ring, and it has been agony for every second without it, you feel his hand on your ass, spreading you open. He's not gentle or slow. The tips of his index and middle fingers only rub at the edge of your rim for a few seconds before they start to push in, and the burn makes you feel like your nerve endings are on fire. Roxy leans down and against your back, his slick cock sliding between your legs and underneath yours.
I know you wanted me to win tonight, he purrs into your ear. It's not easy to take all those hits, which means you're gonna be so good for me, aren't you?
Yes, you gasp out, unthinking, and you're rewarded when Roxy's two fingers slide into you all the way up to his knuckles. The stretch and burn melts into an exquisite pleasure. You clench around him, and he thrusts his fingers in and out with the consistency of a metronome, only treating you to a brush of your prostate once to watch your toes curl. When he pulls his fingers out, you mentally prepare yourself for him to add a third one, and your heart pounds out a stuttering rhythm when you feel the blunt tip of Roxy's dick. Instead, he pushes in, maybe a single inch before he pauses. And your own cock throbs as the burn returns. You go to cover your mouth with one hand, only to jerk and twist against the binding of the belt, leaving your high moan unmuffled. Fuck! It feels amazing, and it is taking every ounce of your brain power to grit your teeth and force yourself into silence. He resumes pushing into you, slow and inexorable, one hand still pinning your neck to the bench while the other braces your hip, and your breathing is ragged and heavy, laced with a whine. Inch after inch of him fills you up, even though you've barely been stretched enough for it not to hurt, and it is bliss.
Now where did I leave my...
Your eyes snap open, just in time to see Jake step out from around the corner, towel around his waist and bag over his shoulder, and freeze in place. His expression goes from mild curiosity to wide-eyed alarm, first catching Roxy's gaze before traveling down, 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 to finally meet yours. Even from here, you can see his throat working as he swallows and stares, taking in the scene
Your face flushed a deep red. Your hands bound and straining behind your bare back, your dick hard and leaking at the tip. And Roxy, you must be at least 5 or 6 inches deep in your ass by now. Jake finally takes a breath and drags his eyes away from your body, his voice unsteady as he makes a weak gesture towards the main part of the locker room behind him.
Tell me, sorry to interrupt you all. Interrupt you. I'll just go back and leave you to it.
Through the mirror on the other wall, you see Roxy pin Jake with his gaze. As the latter attempts to shuffle backwards out of the room, Roxy removes the hands on your hip to bring it up and make a come-hither motion, eyes locked onto Jake's. You can watch, Roxy offers sly. He wants you to watch. The hand on your neck tightens just so, forcing a pitiful little sound out of you. Don't you, Dirk? Considering the fact that at the moment you have both a dick up your ass and the undivided, sexually charged attention of two very, very attractive men, it is entirely reasonable for every logical synapse in your head to finally give up and allow you to become subsumed by desperate lust.
God, yes, please, Roxy, fuck me. Make him watch,
you moan. Flicking his eyes back to yours, you see Jake swallow harshly again and slowly step back into the room. His bag drops to the floor, and you can see the beginnings of a bulge through his towel that makes your mouth water. A slight flush runs down his face and over his whole chest. Fuck his big, hairy, heaving chest. He's still damp from the shower, and you want to lick every single little wet trail in his body. Roxy leans down and brushes the shell of your ear with his lips. Jake might have won the match, he murmurs, the sensation of his breath on your skin making you shiver. But you're smart, Dirk. You know the truth, don't you? He finally slides all the way into you, his hips against yours, and your hands flex fruitlessly in their bindings as a jolt of pleasure lances through you. Roxy rubs his thumb into the side of your neck idly. We know the truth, he hisses, that I'm the one in charge. His hips angle back, pulling out of you before he starts to thrust back in, steady, leisurely, rhythmically. You bite your lip, but it doesn't stop the long, drawn-out whimper you make when he grinds against your prostate with every stroke. Even though there's no longer any real point to staying quiet, you resist. The sound of shifting fabric brings you out of your haze, and you struggle to focus your eyes. When you finally get them to cooperate, you see that Jake's towel now rests on another bench, and he's got his hands on his cock. Holy shit, his dick is huge. Fuck! You slur out, your gut tightening and your body clenching around Roxy again. He gives a single breathless laugh, and his thrusts take on a different cadence, turning more into sharp grinds with each push in, and it's so good, but not quite what you need. You squirm a little, trying to angle yourself so that he can hit your sweet spot again, and the hand on your neck grips you so tight you can barely breathe. Your toes curl as Roxy grinds in harder, faster. Not your turn, Dirk. Roxy reprimands, the only thing giving away how affected he truly is being the slight waver in his voice. It's almost odd to hear your name instead of puppy. The fact that he won't call you that in front of Jake is a relief just as much as it is a disappointment. You said you'd be a good boy, didn't you? Didn't you? Gasping through the nascent tears that prickle your eyelids, you nod as much as you're able to nod while your neck is pinned.
Here's your words. He breathes, speeding up his thrusts again, and shit, you don't know if you can hold out the way your legs are shaking under you. Are you going to be a good boy for me and wait your turn to come? You squeeze your eyes shut, face burning, unwilling to give too much ground with an audience. Yes. The way your voice wobbles probably doesn't inspire much hope. Still, Roxy picks up the pace even more, mercifully angling away from your prostate this time, and you can feel his rhythm start to stutter. A desperate relief in knowing that he's close allows you to get just enough of a grip on yourself to stop your building orgasm from tipping over the edge. It becomes an exercise in denial. You resolutely do not think about the sigh Roxy makes when he comes and buries himself up to the hilt inside you, grinding against the base of the strap-on, nor do you think about the sound of Jake jacking himself off and his accompanying groans. You ignore your aching, dripping, neglected erection, and the sudden release of your neck from under Roxy's hand is a welcome distraction as you breathe heavily, your chest pressed to the bench. He stays inside you, unmoving, so you crack your eyes open. In the wall mirrors, you can see your face streaked with tears and so red you look sunburned. You avert your eyes from Jake, but you can see him slowly pull at his dick in your peripheral vision, taking his time as he drinks in the sight of you and Roxy. The lack of motion from the latter man is unnerving, and you still ache. Please. You bite out, gritting your teeth. Roxy leans forward, bracing himself with both hands to the side of your head. Not your turn yet, either. Aren't you forgetting someone? It dawns on you only moments before he continues into your ear. You don't get to come until he does. And with that, Roxy pulls back and starts to thrust into you again. Your eyes snap to Jake, who looks more surprised than anything. And an unexpected thrust right into your prostate forces a garbled whine into your voice. Jake, fuck, don't just fucking stand there, you plead. The mounting feeling in your gut is returning with a vengeance. You don't know how much longer you can hold out. Fortunately, Jake doesn't seem to find it within himself to be cruel, and his hand works over his cock faster than before. When he closes his eyes and tilts his head back, you allow yourself to relax just a little. This is a mistake. Roxy must see the tension in your shoulders drop just an iota because he speeds up his thrusts and grinds until there's tears in your eyes again, and you're staring at Jake's perfect dick with the kind of desperation that you must imagine feels like being in a saw trap. Oh god, you're close. You're really close now. Why the fuck hasn't Jake come yet? Every muscle in your body is tense and your vision is blurry from the tears that just won't stop, and you're still trying to hold it in to be good to wait your turn when you finally hear Jake let out a long, slow moan. Roxy rubs the base of your neck and shoulders with one hand, slows his hips to a stop, and there's a smile in his voice when he speaks. So good for me. I knew you could do it. He removes the hand from your back and reaches underneath you, and you sob when he grasps your cock at long last.
Roxy readjusts his angle before resuming his thrusts, and fuck, that is ecstasy, his hand pumping you roughly as his pelvis slams against yours. With each movement at long last, the remaining vestiges of your restraint crumble. God, fuck, oh, God, fuck, Roxy! It's only seconds before you come, and it feels like it goes on forever. You twitch and spasm, trying and failing to bite back all kinds of noises with your eyes squeezed tightly shut. It isn't until after Roxy pulls out of you and undoes the belt around your wrists that you crack open a single eye from where you're slumped over the bench. You're exhausted. You can't even bother to stand up. Roxy tilts to the side until he's halfway horizontal just to meet your gaze, and he asks you a question through a single look. You close your eyes and shake your head. You need a minute. Possibly several. You can hear muted discussion happening somewhere above your head, someone grabbing a bag, and then the sound of retreating footsteps. You open your eyes again. A small spike of anxiety calming when you see that Roxy's still standing next to you.
We're going to talk to Jake later, he murmurs in a low voice. But right now, you need a real shower. And then some sleep. Sound good, puppy?
The pet name makes the corners of your mouth twitch, even though you're still too tired to emote properly.
Sure. When I can feel my legs again. He sits next to you on the bench. A hand comes down to gently rake through your white hair. Some of my best work yet, he muses in response. Later in the morning after, you'll have conversations and negotiations, and all the time in the world to work yourself up into a mess over this, but for now, your mind is blissfully blank. You close your eyes. I concur.
If you liked this story, and I know you did, and you would like to read more like it, and I know you would, visit the AO3 page of Steely Dealy Dan. I'll be waiting.
The music is Spill the Tea, composed and produced by Sam Gabriel. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voice over a character, please get in touch with me using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as a link to my Discord server and other ways to support me. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.